You are now listening to the Calcio Corner podcast with your host, Raffaele.
What's good? This is indeed the Calcio Corner podcast, where we cover all corners of Italian football and more. My name is Raffaele. I thank you for taking the time to listen to this, the 57th episode of the Calcio Corner podcast. Please be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Audioboom, just about anywhere you can get your podcasts. Be sure to give me a follow on Twitter. My account is at ItalianoCalcio. Check the link in my Twitter bio for all the links that you need to support and listen to my podcast. So a little bit later on this episode, I will have Tom Bogert on. He had appeared on my podcast a couple months ago. He will be rejoining me to talk about some new Serie A signings that involve some American players. So definitely want to stay tuned to listen to that interview. And we will start off this 57th episode of the podcast with our Buy It or Sell It segment, doing a little bit reverse order. As always, Buy It or Sell It, we use it to cover some of the storylines and rumors that have been dominating the Italian media and the world of football. So number one, Buy It or Sell It, Mourinho is right by saying he is happy with Dzeko and Morial for his striker position. I will buy this one. Now, could Mourinho be saying that he's, you know, happy with Dzeko and that he believes in Dzeko just in case a team isn't able to sell him and find a suitable replacement? Sure, that's certainly a possibility. He may know that he's going to be stuck with Dzeko for a season, and he may just be trying to hype him up and say, yes, I believe in him and all that. That's certainly a possibility. But I do think Mourinho looks at a player like Dzeko with all his experience, all his talent. Certainly he's not in his prime anymore. He's not the player he once was when, you know, Roma first signed him, or earlier in his career at some of his previous clubs. But he's still a very serviceable striker and one that could still, you know, still net you 15 plus goals. I'm fully confident of that. So I do think Mourinho looks at Dzeko and feels that he could get a lot out of him for just one more season. I think Mourinho just feels he needs to get one season out of him, one big season out of Dzeko. Dzeko could help Roma, you know, push for a top four spot this upcoming season. Then if Mourinho gets Roma into the Champions League, you know, he could go to the Friedkins and say, hey, I got you into the Champions League. Now go get me an elite world-class striker with this added revenue that we're going to get from playing in the Champions League. Get me this elite striker to help me fight for the Scudetto in year two and help compete in the Champions League and maintain our top four status. I think that's what Mourinho's kind of mentality or game plan is. Milk and soak as much out of Dzeko this one season, get into the Champions League, and then go to the Friedkins and ask for that world-class striker. In terms of Morial, at last season, in his first season with Roma, his first season in Serie A, he certainly had some stretches where he played really well and kind of carried that Roma attack when Dzeko was on the outside looking in. Obviously, he had that dispute with Fonseca. So you could kind of understand why Roma and Mourinho would be excited about Morial in season two. He understands the league better. He understands Roma better. Certainly, obviously, changing coaches, changing tactics, changing philosophies and all that. But he certainly, you would expect him to be much more settled in season two in Italy compared to what he was last year in his debut season. We know Roma, they've been linked to Andrea Belotti. I've said it before. I think this would be a great destination for Andrea Belotti to kind of further his career and kind of push it and elevate himself to the next level. However, you know, Roma probably aren't willing to spend the amount of money on him that Torino would want. Belotti is one of those players that I think he's more valuable to his current team, in which case obviously that's Torino, than what his actual transfer fee would, you know, value would be, if that makes sense. Obviously Torino values Belotti a lot. He's, you know, their best player. He's their key player. He's so vital for that team. He is their goal-scoring option, and he is a big player that would help them fight off relegation these past few seasons. So he means the world to Torino. But I don't think his transfer value necessarily matches what he's worth to Torino, and I think that's why it's so hard to make a deal for him, because, you know, to get Torino's president Urbano Cairo to agree to sell his most prized possession, he's going to ask for a lot of money, and more than what I think would be a fair market value for Belotti. So that's why I think that's one of the complications in terms of getting Torino, convincing them to sell Belotti. They're never going to get a price that matches what he's worth to that team. I don't see Roma willing to overpay for Belotti. Perhaps I could be wrong, but I don't see that happening. Then you think about what other strikers Roma could potentially bring in this summer that would be such a significant upgrade over Dzeko that you would say it's worth moving on for Dzeko this season. And I don't see that striker being available. Maybe something could pop up as the Mercato starts to wind down as we get closer to the season. So I think Mourinho probably knows he's stuck with Dzeko, for the lack of a better word, being stuck. And he knows, get the most out of him this season. Ask for that big striker next season and hope that you push for a Champions League spot this season with Dzeko. So yes, I definitely buy that Mourinho is right by saying that he's, you know, he's happy going into the season with Dzeko in Morial. All right, number two, Buy It or Sell It. Gianfranco Zola is correct in saying Inter are the Scudetto favorites heading into the next season. I will buy this one. So the Italian legend, Gianfranco Zola, he recently gave a lengthy interview with Gazzetta dello Sport, and he was asked who are the favorites for the new season. And while he said he does view it as a wide open race, he pretty much named all the big clubs being involved in the Scudetto race. He did say he has Inter as a Scudetto favorite since they are the reigning champs. I do think as things currently stand and how things are currently constituted at the time I'm recording this episode, I do think it's fair to say Inter are the favorites for the Scudetto in the new season. We know Conte left, and that loss will certainly have an impact on this side. There's no doubt about it, but how many points is the loss of Conte worth? I guess we're certainly going to find out in this upcoming season, but I do think his loss, you know, will impact Inter's point total, and then I guess you got to look at how much does Simone Inzaghi negate that kind of, how much is he able to kind of milk the most out of this Inter side? We know they sold Hakimi to PSG out of a need, and while Hakimi is a special talent, and he certainly played a big role for Inter this previous season, I think the loss of Conte is actually worth more in terms of points than Hakimi, but that's just my opinion. They still have Lukaku, they still have Lautaro Martinez, Barella, Bastoni, all those other guys in their defense, that has not changed. They've brought in Calhanoglu from Milan. Simone Inzaghi is a good coach, so let's not totally just, you know, dismiss Inter just because Conte left and they sold Hakimi. I think there's still way too much talent on this team, and again, Inzaghi is a good coach. He'll certainly have to prove that he's capable of taking the step up from Lazio to Inter, and we'll see if he's able to do that. So I do think, you know, Gianfranco Zola is correct in saying that, you know, Inter are the current favorites heading into the season. Juventus are undoubtedly right behind them, and just like I said, the loss of Conte should have a negative impact on Inter in terms of their point total. I think bringing in Allegri will have a significant positive impact on Juventus's point total. Then if they're able to bring in Locatelli, that would be a great addition, obviously, for that team. We have to wait and see exactly what happens with Cristiano Ronaldo. It seems that, you know, one minute it seems like everything is fine and he's going to stay, and then there's some random rumors popping up again that's linking him away to the club, so we'll have to see what happens there. Certainly, if he moves on, that would be a significant move that could affect the title race. So as we get closer to the Serie A season, I'll certainly have a preview episode out and provide you with all my predictions and who I think would win the Scudetto. But again, at the time I'm recording this podcast right now in the middle of July, I do think it's correct in Gianfranco Zola saying that Inter are the Scudetto favorites. All right, buy or sell at number 3. Inter going with Socios as their new shirt sponsors is a mistake. I'm going to sell this one. So I know there's been a lot of criticism from Inter fans and just Calcio fans in general. It was recently announced that Inter's new shirt sponsor is the club token company. I'd be lying if I fully understood what they are. Socios, they're growing, they're getting bigger. There's a lot of big clubs around Europe in the world of football that are partnered with them, that offer these club tokens that fans can buy, and it gives them the ability to vote on certain things with the club. That's about as far as I understand with that. But I do sell that it's a mistake by them pivoting to Socios as the new shirt sponsor. I know there's a lot of nostalgic Inter fans and Calcio fans that loved seeing that Pirelli logo on the Inter shirt. It's been their main sponsor for 26 years, and I'm all for nostalgic purposes and all for nostalgia feelings. It was a beautiful kit with the Pirelli shirt on it, but I don't have a problem with them going with Socios. We're heading into this new world, right? This new frontier, if you will, with cryptocurrency and these club tokens. And Inter kind of like pioneering it with being, as far as I know, one of the first big major clubs in the world of football to have one of these brands and one of these companies on their shirts. So, you know, credit to Inter for pioneering this new world that we're heading into. I read that the deal is worth at least $20 million per season. And when you consider that Inter could use some money, all clubs could use money from this pandemic impact that they've felt. The you know, government regulations in China have certainly impacted how much money the Zhang family have been able to kind of invest in this Inter club. So getting a new shirt sponsor that's going to pay you at least 20 million euro per season, I don't see that as a bad thing. When you actually see it on the shirt, they recently released pictures. It's not that ugly. I don't have a problem with it. Again, I give them credit for pioneering this new world of cryptocurrency and club tokens and being one of the first major clubs to, you know, put it on their shirt. It's not going to matter at the end of the day. Fans are only going to care how Inter perform on the field. They're not going to, you know, care if Inter win a Scudetto this season that Socios was on their shirt. It's not a big deal. If you recall, obviously, Pirelli, 26 years, that's a long time to have them as a shirt sponsor. You certainly get used to and accustomed to seeing that on the shirt. But 26 years ago, Pirelli was a new shirt sponsor for Inter. And I'm sure there was backlash and people, Inter fans back then, saying they don't like it. But you grow accustomed to it, you get used to it, and eventually it doesn't even become an issue anymore. So credit again to Inter for pioneering this. And look at what Napoli are doing. Their sponsorship deal with Kappa, manufacturing deal with Kappa, ran out this season. And now De Laurentiis, he's going to look to manufacture the new Napoli kits himself, you know, at a facility that he pays for. And he thinks it'll be able to help him keep more of the revenue which will help Napoli financially. They're looking to have Giorgio Armani, the high-end fashion designer, design the shirt for them and kind of make the patterns and design it for them. But De Laurentiis is going to look to kind of manufacture it himself and hope that it generates more revenue for Napoli to keep instead of giving some of that revenue to the kit maker. So, you know, credit to some of these Serie A clubs. Inter being one of the first major clubs to venture into this cryptocurrency club token type sponsorship. Napoli for manufacturing their own shirt in terms of being one of the big clubs that do it. So I give these Serie A clubs some credit for kind of branching out and trying new things instead of, you know, sticking to the old cookie cut mode, if you will. So credit to these clubs. So no, I sell it. I don't have any problem with Inter, you know, switching sponsors and going to Socios. They're getting a lot of money that is much needed. It's not that big of an eyesore, in my opinion. I kind of think it looks cool on the shirt. So I definitely sell it being a mistake by Inter. So I'm going to have Tom Bogert back on to talk about Tanner Tessman's move to Venezia. Venezia being linked to another highly touted American talent. And Tom does an outstanding job covering the world of soccer here in the United States. He's very dialed in with what's happening with these American players and all these transfer rumors linking them to, you know, various clubs across the world and throughout Europe. So you certainly want to stay tuned for this interview with Tom Bogert. So let me welcome in my guest on the Culture Corner podcast, Mr. Tom Bogert. How are you doing today, Tom?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. How are you?
No problem. Glad to have you back on. So last summer, we saw Juventus sign Weston McKennie, and he certainly proved he's capable of playing at a club like Juventus. Brian Reynolds, he made the move to Roma in January. He never really got much of a chance, and I'm certainly interested to see what he's able to do this season and how Mourinho uses him. Now, here we are this summer, and another American has signed with a Serie A club, Tanner Tessman. He has recently joined promoted side Venezia. I know that personally I've never heard of him, and I would assume most of my listeners have never heard of him. So what can you tell myself and my listeners about this American midfield talent?
Yeah, it kind of came out of the blue here. Look, I knew that he was someone who had, you know, European interests. I knew he was someone who was, you know, highly thought of as someone who could, you know, make the jump to Europe just, you know, with his, you know, technical ability and his, you know, physical profile. He's a big kid. He's like 6'2" or 6'3" or something and pretty athletic. But for me, he was still pretty raw. And I didn't think that something like this would happen for probably another year. Like, he has less than 2000 MLS minutes or so. And look, wow. I was pretty impressed by him, but, you know, my expectations are pretty low. It was for an 18-year-old kid who was just getting his first minutes. You know, he kind of fell out of favor a little bit with Dallas at the beginning of the season. I don't know how long these transfer talks were going on, so maybe that had something to do with it. But for Venezia to spend, you know, upwards of $4 million on a player like this, I was a little surprised because they're, you know, expected to be in a relegation fight, and Tessman isn't exactly a proven commodity. But look, I think very highly of his ability. I think very highly of his potential. He's you know, like I said, a big central midfielder. Mm-hmm. He's athletic. He's kind of all action. He's probably best for a box-to-box role. Dallas was trying to play him a little bit as a stay-at-home number six, which I don't think really suits his strengths. He's not there yet in terms of, you know, positional awareness and timing of the tackle. And again, he's 19 years old. Of course he's not. So I think that he's someone who will kind of thrive in from – you correct me if I'm wrong, because I didn't watch any of them in the Serie B, but they played a 4-3-3. And if that's true, I think he'd be someone who should have a good chance to earn minutes as one of those central midfielders ahead of the holding midfielder.
No, yeah, for sure. And you mentioned how, like, athletic he is. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I heard he was recruited to play American football at college, or so, was that or Clemson or something?
Yeah, so that's true. And the thing is I wrote a story about this too. I don't know if I was the first, but it was a fact that's out there. But, you know, I'm cautious to paint him like that because I don't want people to just be like, oh, this kid was an American football player and he just knows soccer. Like, he was in the Dallas Academy for years. He was somebody who he had not played an official competitive down in a football game at any level. Like, he's somebody he's the godson of Clemson's football coach.
Right.
And he's insanely athletic. And he could walk out to an American football field and knock in field goals from everywhere. So Dabo Swinney, his godfather, said, okay, you've committed to play soccer at Clemson if you don't sign a professional contract. How about this? I'm going to give you a scholarship to play, to be a kicker too, and we'll see if you can do both. So it's not like he was this kid that was struggling with the decision. Is it going to be football or soccer? It was someone who was just insanely athletic, and the Clemson football coach knew him and was like, hey, you want to try to play football too, maybe?
Right, and for those who don't know, Clemson's obviously one of the, perhaps yep. the two, along with Alabama, one of the two biggest college football teams in the United States. So that would have been a cool move to see if that happened. Now, Tessman isn't the only American that could be signing with Venezia this summer. They are said to be close to signing Gianluca Busio from Sporting Kansas City. Obviously, the name Gianluca Busio is Italian. His father is Italian. Mother is American, but he was born here in the USA. He's already represented the United States, if I'm not mistaken. Right. And everything you hear about Busio, he sounds... I mean, I know you mentioned Tessman, this move kind of was a surprise, but everything I hear about Busio is he's much more of this highly regarded talent. Is he as good a player as I've been hearing, and is his move to Venezia going to happen soon?
Yeah, look, the deal is done as far as things being agreed and whatnot. Literally, the only thing that could hold this up is if he fails medical, and I, mm-hmm. you know, I don't want to, you know, knock on wood here. I can't see that happening for a healthy young kid like him. So, yeah, that deal is in. I believe the fee up front is about $5 million U.S., and it could rise to $10.5 or $11 million, and then oh, wow. Kansas City have a sell-on clause of 20%, but that only kicks in if Venezia were to sell him for more than what they bought him for. So they doubt Kansas City would only get 20% of uh-huh. anything above the $11 million U.S. So, yeah, he's definitely a more highly regarded player. He's someone who's been around longer. He signed his first professional contract at 15. He made his debut in MLS at 16. And then at 17 and 18, he was pretty much a regular in the first team. And this year, before he went on international duty with the United States, he started every single game. He was not just an intriguing, promising player. He was one of their most important players. Like his kind of growth has been really cool to see. And what makes him so great is his maturity, his vision, his brain is pretty wild for someone who's, again, 19 years old. He just turned 19 in May. Every wow. time you watch him, it feels like you're watching kind of a more veteran presence. You know, he still has mistakes that any teenager will make. But he's somebody who's this year, he's thrived as, you know, like a regista, like as, you know, deep-lying playmaker as a number six, which is pretty wild because he broke through professionally as a number 10. He's played as a box-to-box role for Kansas City plenty. And with the U.S. Youth National Teams, he's played on either wing. And with Kansas City a couple times this year, he played as a false nine. How many 19-year-olds do you know that can play six different positions like that?
Yeah, good versatility.
Yeah, so, you know, I think that his – you know, I do like him as a regista because his range of passing, his vision, his tempo setting, and when he's kind of on his day, he can win duels. But, you know, he's still a little really too raw defensively if you know, I were a manager to kind of trust him full-time as a six. And, again, particularly if you're in a relegation battle.
Right. But
I think he's someone that would be really, really solid in, you know, a box-to-box number eight role or somebody that he's still going to drop deep and get on the ball, but he's still going to push forward and be able to kind of make that final ball, make that final pass. And he's, you know, again, this is a lot of money for a player like him. I'm not entirely surprised given all the interest in him. And in kind of reporting out this deal, I was kind of the first to note that Venezia were actually getting close. I didn't ask any of my sources about Venezia earlier because I just didn't think that they had the money for a kid.
Right.
Like, you know, it was Sassuolo, it was Fiorentina, it was Club Bruges, it was a French club, it was, you know, a Dutch, you know, one of the top three Dutch clubs. And then, you know, I heard a couple whispers about Venezia being interested, and I was like, no way, they have the money to kind of get in this game. And, you know, I was assured before these numbers came out, oh, Tom, like, don't worry, they have the money. So it's a pretty big coup for them, and I'm really excited to see how he does.
Yeah, no, it'd be cool to see the two Americans playing together at Venezia and as they try to fight off relegation. And, yeah, I remember hearing him linked to Sassuolo, and I thought at one point he was going to go there, but, yeah, we wonder where this money's coming from.
And with Tessman and Busio, from people I've talked to, these two are very good friends too. So that's another cool little story.
Okay, so maybe that's kind of some motivation behind this. So mentioning Tessman, and he came from FC Dallas, and it seems like they're kind of like becoming a powerhouse here in the United States in terms of producing the most American talent that we're seeing popping up all across Europe. What's like their secret sauce, or what? Why are they so much better than most of these other MLS clubs, at least from what I'm seeing?
Yeah, no, you're completely right. And it's twofold. One, the Dallas area, the Texas is known for being really talent rich for producing athletes of all kinds
right.
in America, and including soccer. You know, what's where Clint Dempsey's from, and go down the list even further back from the guys that you know, like Weston McKennie and Chris Richards and all them. Another is that they were one of the first to really go all in on the academy. And being cynical, you could say that that's because they wanted to keep the budget lower by way of you know, big additions and senior additions in the first team, or they wanted to change the financial model where down the line you're going to get a player like Tanner Tessman, who wasn't even a starter, selling for, you know, $4 million. But they embraced it early. They cared about it. They devoted not just financial resources to their facilities and to the coaching staff, but you know, time. They've long had coaches that had an eye for development. You know, Oscar Pereira was somebody who really kind of revolutionized, would be too strong, but he's somebody who really set the foundation for, we're going to give academy kids a chance, and if they mess up in their first couple games, I'm not going to banish them to the bench. I'm not going to banish them to the second team. I'm going to let them play through it. Mm-hmm. And then after he left, they hired their academy director to become their first team coach, Luigi Gonzalez, as just another sign of, we want to promote from within, and we care about youth, and we're gonna. This is, you know, a development club. If I'm a fan, I would be mildly annoyed that the results haven't been better, and particularly this year. You know, they've made the playoffs most years, but this year they're currently in last. But that's because they keep on misfiring with senior additions. Like, this has nothing to do with their young players. Their young players are the ones that are keeping them relevant and keeping them competitive. You know, they in a salary cap league like MLS, that's such an advantage to be getting contributions and big contributions from your academy talent. So it's just unfortunate for them that they can't seem to hit at a good rate when it comes to senior additions from abroad. But, you know, if they figure that out at any time soon, like, this club are really going to benefit on the field and obviously financially when it comes to these, you know, academy talents.
Yeah. And you kind of mentioned it's got to be tough for an FC Dallas fan to constantly see the young talent get sold. I mean, I think of a club like Udinese in Serie A, like, they do an outstanding job at developing talent and selling them for much more than they paid. But if I'm an Udinese fan, I guess you're a little tired of seeing the best players constantly leave. You'd love to see, you know, it wasn't all that long ago that they were a team fighting for the top four, right? And I'm sure their fans would love to see that again.
And with Dallas, Chris Richard didn't make a single appearance for Dallas. Weston McKennie didn't even sign a professional contract. Justin Che was almost sold to Bayern Munich before he made his senior debut. Like, Tanner Tessman played, you know, what, half a season, a total season, because the pandemic shortened everything. Like, if I'm a fan, I'll be like, you know, it'd be cool if it was like the Philadelphia Union, where Brendan Aaronson and Mark McKenzie had 2 years in the first team, we won a trophy, and then we sold them. Like right. Why can't they stick around for a little longer? So it's a tough balancing act.
Yeah. The owners, they're benefiting, I guess, from the money that they can reinvest. Yeah. But the fans, like you said, they want that, at least give me that trophy or something. Shit. Is there any other American talent that, you know, we should be keeping an eye out that maybe, I mean, it seems like Serie A clubs are becoming more and more interested in American talent. Is there any other player we should be keeping an eye out?
One that comes to mind, and it's not a big name, is Jack DeVries. He plays for the Philadelphia Union. He only has a handful of appearances. He's, you know, 18 or 19. He's a young player. He's highly rated, but he's someone who hasn't really broken into the first team. Benicio are targeting him as well, and he has a European passport, so he wouldn't count towards a non-EU slot. But he was kind of viewed for the second team or more. Like, he wasn't going to be like Tessman or Busio, where they see him kind of stepping into the first team. But he's currently dealing with a concussion, a long-term concussion, which is obviously very scary, and most importantly, right, him is his health, and particularly with his head, you know, the concussions are pretty wild. But he's somebody who that's real, that they were hoping to get him in on loan this summer, but the head injury has, you know, obviously put a hurdle into that, and that's just kind of wait and see. After that, there's nobody obvious that's American, but, you know, to, you know, at least give you a more senior name, Kai Wagner on the Philadelphia Union is someone who has had interest within Italy. I don't know which clubs, and I don't know how serious or how close that would come, but Kai Wagner would be one to watch. I thought that he'd be most likely heading back to Germany because he's German. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was assured that there is enough real smoke coming from Italy that's at least a possibility.
All right. So we'll certainly have to keep an eye out for those two names in particular. I'll get you out of here on this, and I feel bad asking it because I feel like it seems like it's probably a question you get answered or some variation of this a lot. Whenever we talk about soccer here in the United States, it seems to be talked about, like, what has to happen to help grow the sport and everything. And I do think the sport of soccer here in the United States is in a really good place. I think viewership for Champions League and these European leagues is way up. Certainly MLS numbers could grow a bit. But we saw Christian Pulisic. He became the first ever American to not only play in a Champions League final, but also to win it back in May with Chelsea. He also played a pivotal role for them. It wasn't like he was just a passenger. How significant of a moment do you think that was for soccer here in the United States?
So obviously that was very big, and that was wonderful. And just, you know, again, another milestone to check off. Mm-hmm. the more important part for American soccer and or North American soccer would be, you know, Pulisic, just him breaking through and that big move, you know, his contributions to Dortmund and then his big move to Chelsea. And the same thing with Tyler Adams going straight into the RB Leipzig first team. And the same thing with Gio Reyna in the first team and Alphonso Davies doing what he does. Honestly, something like Dallas should send Alphonso Davies a fruit basket because they would they wouldn't have gotten anywhere near the amount of money that they got for Brian Reynolds in particular if Alphonso Davies hasn't been doing what he's doing with Bayern. Right. So those are kind of the more important ones rather than, you know, I don't think it changes too much to note that, oh, Pulisic is a regular for Chelsea and they won the Champions League. Again, that's great, but it was more about bridging the gap of, you know, the first wave of getting there and doing, and Weston McKennie, what he's done, and Chris Richards, what he's done a little bit. Like, and more clubs around the world look at Major League Soccer and American kids as, and North American kids, again, not to disclude Canada, they look at that as a viable market. They look at it as an undervalued market in many places. Again, that's why, like, again, I think that Roma probably overspent on Brian Reynolds, but that's because Roma and Juventus decided we don't want to miss out on the next Alphonso Davies. And that's how things change. That's how things move forward. And that's why, you know, Christian Ramirez went to Scotland. That's to Aberdeen. That's not a big club. That's not a big move. But that just shows that every clubs of all sizes can look at MLS, can look at American academies, even non-MLS academies, and be like, they're producing real talent and they're producing talent that we can't ignore. And again, when you find the spaces for value that you can exploit that, then this is, you know, a smart sporting and business decision to be embedded kind of in the American, North American, Canadian market.
Yeah, and I guess maybe it'll be nice eventually. We'll get to the point one day where, you know, European team signs an American talent and the headline isn't, you know, using the headline American or the word American. You don't see like a Serie A club sign a player from Spain and it says they sign, you know, they don't emphasize the Spaniard part or whatever. So it'll be nice to get to a point where they don't really emphasize the American part. It's just they sign, you know, this talented player or whatnot. But I can't thank you enough for taking the time to come on this podcast and talk about all these topics. And Tesman and Busio will certainly, I'd be very excited to see them play in Serie A this upcoming season. I certainly hope you stay safe and I would love to talk to you again soon.
Of course, yeah. Whenever you want me, I'm back. Appreciate it. All right.
Thank you. Take care, man.
So that will do it for the 57th episode of the Calcio Corner podcast. I hope you have enjoyed it. A special thank you to Tom Bogert for taking the time to join me on this episode. Once again, please be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Audioboom, just about anywhere you can get your podcasts. Feel free to leave a rating and comment. That would be greatly appreciated to help us grow. Be sure to spread the word of the Calcio Corner podcast to any friends or family members that you think would enjoy a Calcio-centric podcast. And until next time, guys, ciao.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Calcio Corner podcast with your host, Raffaele. If you've enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.